I'll invite you to turn in your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We made reference to this verse last week. We've been talking about grace, and we will see some things about grace in our message today as it relates to our thankfulness to God. But I've entitled this message, The Benefits of Affliction. I don't think probably too many of us would look at affliction and say, well, really, Pastor, are there any benefits to affliction? And I'm here to say, yes, there are, there can be. If we look at them from the biblical perspective of how God wants us to see them, and I have experienced that firsthand in my own life, and I know there are others here who could say the same thing, that you've experienced benefit in the midst of affliction. The verse that we're looking at here is verse 15, which is couched in the middle of a passage of Scripture. Again, I referenced last week that starts in verse 8 that says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. I want you to see that phrase. We have these afflictions so that Jesus can be better seen through us. That's really the intent that Paul is speaking of and that God desires for us in our life. Now, he says then in verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. So he's talking about his affliction, but the impact that it has on other people. We'll talk about that in a moment. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For, verse 15, all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. You know, thanksgiving can easily become a formality to us. I'm sure some of you are already thinking about making your plans as to where you're going to go and how many people are going to be there and what food you're going to prepare and all the things that are going to take place. And it's a joyous time. I love Thanksgiving for many different reasons. But hopefully we don't just love Thanksgiving for the food. And there's some delicious food. I love turkey. And I only get to eat it about once a year. You know, that's just kind of the way it goes. You can't hardly find it in the store other times of the year. But I enjoy turkey and all the fixings along with it, and I'm looking forward to today, and I know you all are too. Now, I usually try to go at the end, so make sure you leave some for those of us that go at the end, okay? I know y'all are hungry, and I'm already starting to hear some stomachs growling, so let's enjoy, and let's enjoy it together. But you know, when we think about all these things, we kind of formalize things and we make the plans, but we kind of go into cruise control then as to how we're going to kind of get all these things accomplished and get all these things done. And we really fail sometimes to resonate our thankful hearts to the Lord. Now, we try to help you focus that here in church. I'm not saying you wouldn't do it otherwise, but we try to have a couple of messages through the month of November to help keep our focus where it should be. Thanksgiving is intended to be year-round, not just a particular time of the year. It is intended to be a heartfelt response, not just a stomach or taste bud response. A heartfelt response to the overwhelming love and grace that God pours out upon us every day. God blesses us more than just at Thanksgiving. And so if he does, we should be thanking him more than just at Thanksgiving, right? And I know I'm preaching to the choir a little bit here today, because I believe we have folks here who do give thanks to the Lord on a regular basis. But just in case you don't, we're going to get reminded of some things here today, of the importance of cultivating a spirit of thanksgiving and praise, not just in times of abundance, which that's how we tend to look at thanksgiving and praise, but that we would also find a way to praise the Lord in difficulty and in challenges. Even in the midst of trials, God's grace sustains us, and we should be thankful for that. We should see the blessings that are evident to us, even when things aren't going as smoothly as we would like. I believe cultivating that praise and thanksgiving during those times really will enable you to rise above on this higher ground that we talked about, to giving this thanks to God and be victorious in your life. Now, in this passage, Paul talks about his sufferings. We read through briefly, and you'll notice that Paul is not complaining as he's talking through these sufferings. He's not giving a woe is me spirit and attitude. You don't see tears that are coming forth here, even though he's not necessarily penning these words. It's possible that Timothy was maybe penning these words, but there doesn't seem to be any regret, any grave sorrow that is here. And what he's writing here is a testament to God's grace that is working through the difficulties that he has faced and will continue to face in his life. Our lives should be a reflection of God's work in us. And God can use every single experience, whether it's mountaintop experiences or whether they are the valleys of affliction. Good and hard and difficult, but do it for a higher purpose, so that we would have a spirit and a heart of thanksgiving and praise to the Lord. That we would reflect the working of God in our lives. That it's not just that we're going to praise him when it's all great, but we can praise him when it's not so great in the times of affliction. Our experiences, one of the reasons why we should be doing this is because our experiences, even of affliction, can be very enriching in our lives as well as in the lives of others. He says, all things are for your sake. In other words, this is for your benefit. The things that we go through, even in afflictions, can be beneficial to us if we will take the right perspective that God designs for us. This is underscoring the sacrificial nature of Paul and his sufferings and his endeavors. He says, all things are for your sake. Paul went through these things and he said, it's for your benefit, Church of Corinth. So what we need to ask ourselves here is that as we go through afflictions, are we going to be burdened or are we going to seek to be blessed? Are we going to just bask in the blessing that God is helping us even through this difficulty? Or are we going to allow ourselves to be heavily weighted by the burden that is there? Now, I know that there are afflictions that can be very, very heavy. Very heavy. I understand that. And I think you know that I understand that. With the passing of my wife, that was a burden that I haven't experienced anything like that. And I hope I don't have to again, but I don't know. And there are folks in here who have lost a spouse, have lost loved ones. There are folks in here who are struggling with disease and illness, and it's hard for you. And I cannot relate to that. I'll be the first to say. But it's difficult for you daily having to manage things that you're just of regular life experiences and things that you hurt. It's slower. It's just hard. And yet, I believe that we can say by God's grace that we don't have to allow those burdens to just totally emaciate us, to totally cast us down, that we can be on that higher ground by the grace of God and by the strength that He gives to us, that we can still see a blessing and we can still have lives and a spirit of thanksgiving to the Lord as we walk through those difficulties. And the reason is because these afflictions, these hardships serve a greater purpose than just making us hurt, either physically or emotionally. God has a design and a desire as He puts us through those situations that we would become more like Jesus Christ, that we would, not just that, that we would show other people the grace and love of God in our spirit as we manage these circumstances. And that we can demonstrate that God is still alive and He's still on the throne, and I can still trust Him, and I can still have a measure of joy in my heart through this affliction. So Paul's words here are encouraging us to think about how our experiences, whether they're joyful or painful, can be a blessing to other people. As we encounter these challenges of life, we do find ourselves feeling burdened, feeling heavy-hearted. Yes, that's a part of it. We are simply flesh and blood. We have feet of clay. We aren't perfect. We aren't going to just look at things with laughter and full joy all the time. I mean, that's just more than what we can bear in these human fleshly bodies that we have. But Paul is teaching us that these kinds of struggles can be turned into something positive. Whether it's looking at the end result of how God may work in us to trust Him more, and that we can see the grace of God as He brings healing, as He not only to our bodies, which that healing may not be on this side of heaven, that healing may be in heaven itself, which we know is going to be the case for all of us. Praise God. Amen. Yeah. But that there can be a measure of healing of our soul. There can be a measure of healing of our emotions. And that if we say we have faith in God to save us, to give us joy of salvation, He can give us joy of salvation no matter what. There can be some positive things. So not only do we seek a blessing as opposed to be burdened down with these things, but we also ask ourselves the question, is it going to be about ourselves or about others? The meaning behind this verse emphasizes the concept of community, where Paul is saying, this has taken place for your sake. And he's not saying, why did you scoundrels have to be such sinners, and you know, where I had to go through all of this. There's community when it comes to our burdens and our afflictions. When we experience hardships, it is really better for us if we don't go through them alone. I'm glad that I have people that I can reach out to. I'm looking at a myriad of folks right here that you have been a blessing to me through my hardship over this last year and a half. I'm glad for a loving family who's been such an encouragement and a blessing to me. We are not alone in our struggles. We don't have to be. And if you find yourself just not wanting to share your burdens with other people, you're missing out on a blessing. You know, the Bible tells us that we need to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians chapter 6. Now, he does tell us there that we bear our own burdens, and the difference there is that there are some burdens that we just don't need to share. I can deal with this with God's grace, but there are some that are just so heavy, I've got to share it with somebody else. I need their prayer. But you know, we don't have to share every burden. There's some things that it's okay if you just keep it to yourself, but ask God for the discernment to know, what do I need to share and what do I just need to keep to myself? And God will lead you. He will guide you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. And it is not always just so that they can help you. I believe that there are instances in our life when we go through afflictions and other people know that we're going through those things, that as they know what we're going through and see the joy and the grace of God that is in our heart, that can be a blessing to them. But they're not going to know that if they don't know you're going through a trial. They're just going to think, well, there's old, you know, Brother Ed. He's just always joyful, and he just has a smile on his face and praising the Lord. And you don't know anything of what Ed is going through at home or at his job. And you just think, well, he's just the way he always is. But you see, there may be something far deeper that's going on. And if you know that, if Ed would share that with you and you would see the grace of God in Ed's life, then it would be such a blessing to say, wow, how does Ed do that? I know what he's going through. How is he able to have such a sweet spirit about him when people have treated him so poorly? Or whatever the affliction may be in his life. So don't be alone in your struggles. Live lives that intertwine with the experiences of those who are around you. And of course, we should know that when we go through those things, that it doesn't always just impact ourselves. It may impact other people, but also as they watch us. We can demonstrate that we can handle things by faith. We can inspire others and show them how grace operates in real time, in real life. That it's not just something you read about in the scriptures. And by the way, that's real. We know that. The people that have experienced, Paul who experienced these things, was real. But he is living through these things with faith in the Lord, and that can be a blessing to these Corinthian people in that church. And you can be the same way with others around you, to your family. If you have unsaved co-workers, unsaved family members, you can be a blessing to them as they see the struggles that you're having and how you are dealing with them by faith. That God is going to work these things for good because you love God and you're called according to His purpose. We need to see the potential for the enrichment of others. And that means we have to turn the focus away from ourselves and we need to put it onto God and how He can work in us through this situation. You know, I hesitate talking about this too much. I hope I don't talk about it too much. But you know, in the days and weeks following Pam's passing, many of you remember that there were at least three other funerals that we had in the next 4 to 5 weeks. Brother Smith, Doris Liggett, Leland Stuckey. And I remember the Stuckey's daughters coming to me and said, "Pastor, we're so sorry that you're having to deal with this just after what you've experienced with Pam." And she said, "We'd be happy to get someone else to do the funeral." And I said, "No, no, no. I said, I want to do this. I loved Leland. He was a faithful friend and he was actually by marriage kind of a distant relative of ours. And I said, I want to do this. And I saw this as an opportunity of getting my eyes off of myself and off of the sorrow that I had and to be able to minister to others. And that helped me personally, rather than sitting and drowning in my own sorrow, to think about others. And I'm thankful, I'm sorry for the passing of those friends and those dear ones, but I'm thankful that God was with me and allowed me to do that. And one of the purposes and one of the ideas that I had in my mind that by the grace of God, I wanted to demonstrate the power of God's grace through this situation that I was going through. That's not to lift me up. It's all God. He was one that was going to do it. I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to still be able to minister from the pulpit, minister to you folks in various ways. But see, is focusing on others instead of just myself is really what largely helped me through those early months of trial and affliction. And folks, I just tell you, it's not about me. It's about what God does and what God can do through you in your situation. If we are just looking at ourselves and bemoaning what we're going through and if we're feeling burdened, what is that going to communicate to other people? You see, I want to communicate the strength of God in whatever I'm going through. And I would hope God would desire that we demonstrate the strength of God and not just the burdensomeness of our affliction. That's why Paul could say these things were for your sake. It is through our testimony that seed faith in others' hearts can prompt them to do the same, that can encourage them. We need to be creating an environment where people can see God's faithfulness in action. I'm nothing special. God didn't do that for me because I'm a preacher. He did that because it's what I desired for Him to do. And He can do that in your heart and your life through you as well. I've mentioned this, and I think it bears mentioning again, of the blessing that Brother Ray Van Sickle was in the last year and a half of his life as he realized that he had pancreatic cancer. And the joy of the Lord that was very evident on his face and in his life. And if you were around then, you remember and you saw what he was experiencing, and he wasn't allowing himself to be so burdened with what he knew was inevitable. And God gave him really longer to live than what would normally be the case. And I think it was just so that he could be that living, vibrant testimony of the grace of God. So whatever we're going through, and by the way, it doesn't have to be cancer. It doesn't have to be a terminal, life-threatening thing that we're going through. God desires that we allow these experiences to be enriching to other people. Our difficulties are turning points in our life that can shape us into a vessel for His grace, to teach others so that God's grace can flow through us and impact other people. You see, I have a pulpit where I can preach and I can declare these things. You don't. But you have a pulpit every day. People that you interact with that you can be a blessing to and say, boy, the grace of God is so wonderful. I'm so thankful in the midst of what I'm going through. God is so good. The second thing that I think we need to realize as we think about the purposes of affliction is that our experiences can be very expansive. Now, this phrase here where he says that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That phrase is literally saying grace is reaching more and more people through his experience. It wasn't just one or two people, but grace has a way of abounding. It has a way of expanding, of multiplying, if we will simply allow it to do so in our own heart. Paul is saying that his trials were part of God's plan to extend grace to more and more people. This echoes his sentiment back in chapter 1, in verse 6, where he says, whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation or encouragement and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. So he's saying, hey, whatever afflictions I'm going through, he said, I know it's so that it can be an encouragement to somebody else. The expansive reach of the gospel through the ministry of Paul, it was signified by the increasing numbers of individuals who knew Paul, saw his ministry, encountered God's grace because Paul didn't let those afflictions burden him and get him down. They saw the favor of God and they wanted to trust in that God. So we ask ourselves a question. Are we going to be willing to see the positive, or are we going to just look at the negative of all this? Is our impact of our affliction going to be for good or for evil? If we continue to respond negatively to our afflictions, we can tend to bring others down with us into our sorrows. I think sometimes, you know, we'll share things and we appreciate the sympathy that they give to us. And certainly, empathy is important that we share with other people. But, you know, I think we can try to milk that sometimes. Say, boy, I need more empathy. And so we'll try to talk about things more, just to try to gain some more. Now, if you're asked about it, okay, but you know, I think sometimes we have to be careful as to how much we're really trying to glean from other people. Instead, let's try to impart grace rather than ask for sympathy. Paul could have easily despaired of life and said, hey, y'all feel sorry for me. Look at what everything I've been through, everything I've had to deal with. Paul realized that it's in our weakest moments that God's grace shines the brightest. And that shining grace is not just for us, but for others. It can lead to an increase of the understanding and the embrace of God's grace in more and more people. They can be motivated as they see Christ in us and say, I want what that person has. Because even in our afflictions, we are still valuable instruments of God's working. Embracing our difficulties can create room for God's grace to be made known in even deeper ways, ultimately impacting others around us in ways that we can't even imagine. If our desire is really to point others to Jesus Christ, not to ourselves, then we need to see this ongoing prospect of grace spilling over from our life into the lives of others. And as we do so, that grace becomes abundant. He said, you know, Paul, he didn't just want to have a small impact on these people. He wanted to have an abundant impact. And so he needed to live the grace of God. So our personal testimony of grace can lead to countless others experiencing the grace of God in Christ. Third thing here about our afflictions and experiences, that they can be enhancing. He says, the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. That they would just be abundant, that it would just be impossible to see. That these folks are giving thanksgiving to God for what he has done for them. So gratitude and worship are being produced here. And the experiences of Paul's affliction are enhancing these experiences of thanksgiving and worship. So the first thing we see, it's to the glory of God here. As more people experience God's grace, thanksgiving naturally overflows to the glory of God. Paul is underscoring the ultimate purpose that God's grace isn't just for individual benefit, not just for human benefit, but it's for the magnification of God's glory. And that was Paul's desire. May God be glorified through my affliction as I demonstrate the grace of God in my life to you. And as you see that grace in your life, let's all praise God together. When we recognize God's work in our life, our natural response should be that of gratitude, whether it's good things or even evil things. We're called to be grateful stewards, not only of our own life, but of the testimonies of the lives of others around us. And that we praise God with those who are experiencing the grace of God. We're not just keeping it to ourselves. It's not about us. As it touches our heart, it leads to a place of gratitude and praise to bring him glory. But not just enhancing the glory of God, but the real grasping of gratitude on our part. We can find reasons to give thanks even in our pain. I hope we all see that and understand that. Things could always be worse. We could always find someone else who is worse off than we are. In times when we had some hospital stays with my wife over the years, it seemed like there was hardly a time that as we were maybe walking the halls as she was trying to gain strength or whatever, and she'd see other people, what they're struggling with. She said, wow. She said, I've got a lot to be thankful for that I'm not struggling like those people are. I mean, they seem to have so much more issues than what I have. She was finding the grace of God in the midst of the trials that she was going through. Our gratitude is something that should cause us to give praise to the Lord, thanksgiving. Gratitude fosters a healthy mindset. It redirects our focus from the problems to the blessing of God. So let's be healthy. We may not be healthy physically, we may not be healthy emotionally, but we can be healthy spiritually. Open our hearts. Prepare us to see God's ongoing activity in our life. So we practice gratitude. We cultivate a heart that points to God's glory. And that's where we should always be living. And so this, I hope, passage of Scripture is a powerful reminder of how God's grace operates in the midst of our sufferings. How that Paul is communicating to us that earthly trials can have a divine purpose. This verse should hold a lot of relevance for all of us who are navigating through trials and challenges in our life. God would give us solace. God would give us encouragement, reminding us that our struggles have a greater purpose. And that we would seek to foster the spiritual growth and demonstrate the grace of God and disseminate it to others. That we will exemplify the grace of God to others. Highlight God's grace rather than your struggles. And you know, that can cause a ripple effect among other believers, other family members, to see the Lord. The grace of God is an incredible gift. That's what it is. It's favor. It's a gift that should naturally lead us, even in afflictions, to thanksgiving and praise to God. I encourage you to reflect the grace of God this Thanksgiving season. And we've been talking about it a lot. I know. It's okay. I don't think we can talk enough about God's grace. It's really the very backbone of our life, our existence, the favor that God has shown to us. Reflect on that grace. Live your way in a life that acknowledges and appreciates that gift that God has given to you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the incredible gift of grace. Lord, we think of it sometimes as a single gift, but that matter of grace is given to us over and over in various circumstances. And it's that overarching idea of grace that we should be embracing and giving thanks for. And as we count our blessings, I pray that in the counting, we realize This isn't just a blessing because someone else provided it for us. This isn't just something because life has been good, that our boss has been good to us, that family members have treated us better than normal, but that these things are in direct measure to your wondrous grace. The great and marvelous gifts that you give to us, your favor that is present every single day. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us as we magnify that grace, that you will help us that even in the afflictions, we will be able to demonstrate a measure of grace, that would catch hold to other people. And that it would indeed abound, grow to your glory and for our praise of you. Because you are such a wonderful, gracious, loving God. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I hope that we are talking to the Lord, and I would encourage you to do that. So, Lord, how does this need to apply to me? If you already know what that is, that you'd ask for God's help and strength to make that application. And that you would ask for God's grace to rule your heart and your life, and that grace of God would be a demonstration to other people. Not that you're trying to make a show of anything. This is your grace, the God grace of God that should be flowing through our life. If you're here this morning and you don't really see that grace happening in your life, maybe you have a problem contemplating even what I'm talking about, of how we can think about having grace in the middle of afflictions. And part of it is because you have never partaken of the grace of God in salvation. You've never seen your need of deliverance from your sin and the impact that it has on your life to destroy you. The affront, the offense that you have against God because of your sinful lifestyle and dealings with Him. And it is by grace that God sent His Son, Jesus, to give Himself as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for your sins. And you need to believe on Jesus. You need to receive Him. You need to partake of that grace, that gift of God of salvation, forgiveness of sins, the payment for your sin. And you need to turn from that sin and turn to Jesus. And once you understand that grace of salvation, you will have a wonderful door open to you of a knowledge of God and the grace that He wants to give to you after you get saved. So if you have that need today, I hope that you will see me, or either by coming to the front here at the invitation in a moment, or visit with me afterwards and say, I want to know something more about that grace that you're talking about. Lord, I pray that you will use the message of your word. We thank you for all that it does for us, your word, your truth, to enlighten us and to see your glory. Father, may our lives be to your glory today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.